many say amen.
Amen.
Have you been to a funeral recently?
Yes.
There'll be no dying there. Life everlasting. Welcome this morning to Living Springs Wesleyan. We're delighted to have you here. Particularly delighted to have Jerry and Judy's family with us today. I've noticed that they're more calm, like Judy seems a little more. But maybe that's their Sunday phase. Well, welcome. We're very happy, very delighted that you're here. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, Lord, that you have created this moment from eternity. And we thank you, Lord God, for the script that you alone desire to place in our hearts. Father, we ask your anointing on this service. We pray, Lord, for an abundant entrance into your word and into understanding who you are. And we ask, Lord, your special touch upon Jerry's kids, Lord, upon this family, as they bring their children to dedicate them to you. Father, we thank you. Lord, you dedicated your life to us from eternity past, and we thank you for that. And we are grateful to dedicate these children today. Father, I ask your blessing upon all parts of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today is the last Sunday, so it's the Wesleyan Kids for Missions, and there are envelopes on the front table to donate for their yearly fundraising called Acorn. Doesn't mean you're a nut. It just means that it's a great, great tree of life that comes forth. And we ask you to participate if you are able, certainly to pray for God to take the funds and to make them into what he wants. Other than that, I'm going to let the bulletin speak for itself. And we have guests here today, so we want them to know that we're a friendly group. So please stand and greet each other. I'm going to ask the following to please come up here. Christina and John, would you stand to my left over here, right in front? And then Keith and Marissa, you bring Eli. And then you have godparents, sponsors come with you. It's probably, well, you can stand up here. Jerry and Judy, do you want to come up here and join your... One on either side. We finally split them up, huh? We are here today to bring before the Lord these two cherished gifts. Zoe Grace McDonald and Elijah Dennis McDonald. They are part of the blessing of Jerry and Judy McDonald, who are an intricate part of this church, and we love them dearly. Just as Jesus was dedicated as an infant, because he was the firstborn and therefore was given back to his heavenly Father, so we bring these two treasures to the King of Kings. And before the actual dedication takes place, I'd like to highlight the names of the two babies, which are biblical and to me very important. Zoe, we go girls first, Zoe comes from the Greek word Zoe, except it doesn't have a Y, and it means the life principle. And as we look on her, because she's moving, we are reminded that Jesus Christ is the source of life and the foundation upon which we are to build our life and family. So may Zoe's life be founded in Christ and this gift that was given to you be given back to God for his safekeeping. Elijah, that name means my God is Yahweh or Jehovah, and it shows a personal relationship to an eternal God. Eli, his nickname, comes from the Hebrew word El, which is the name for God. And in the formation, it means my God. It's a personal relationship to God himself. And as we look on Eli, let us be reminded that God wants a relationship with us. She already loves the altar. I love it. God wants a relationship with us. He is to be our God. May Eli grow in that knowledge. And we in turn today give back this gift unto the giver of life. She's saying amen. We thank the Lord for the McDonald family and pray that today you each will sense the canopy of God's grace upon you. So now we'll have the actual dedication service. Pastor Dennis will lead.
Christina and John, you have brought Zoe. Zoe, whom God has given you to be dedicated to God and to his service. And by this act, you therefore signify your faith in Jesus Christ and also your desire that Zoe shall receive the benefits of consecration to God and of the prayers of the church and may early learn to know and follow the will of God, and thus doing may live and die a Christian, attaining in the end of this earthly life to everlasting life in the kingdom of God. But in order that this may be accomplished, it will be your duty as parents to teach Zoe early the fear of the Lord, to watch over her education, that she may not be led astray by false teachings or doctrines, to direct her mind to the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, as expressing the will and authority of God for all mankind, and to direct her feet to the church, to keep Zoe from evil associates and habits, and as much as you are able, to bring her up by the grace of God and the nurture, and to know and love Jesus, to know the Lord. Will you endeavor to do this by the help of the Lord?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to read a scripture from the Bible that Jesus said. And they brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them. And his disciples said, don't bring them to him. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said to them, let the little children come to me. And don't stop them, for such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, Jesus said, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Can I hold Zoe for a second?
Yeah.
I'll try my best. Hi. Oh, she's gonna. She. On behalf of the parents and godparents in this congregation, I dedicate Zoe unto the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'll give it to you. Now pray. Let's pray for a second and thank the good Lord. Lord, I just thank you for Zoe and Christina and John. And Lord, I just ask, thank you for this beautiful little girl, this active little girl. And Lord, I just ask your grace for Christina, John, the godparents, all of the family, Lord, that this little girl might know your love and your protection and your peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. She's a live wire. That's all I can say. Hi. Keith and Marissa, you have brought Eli, whom God has given you to be dedicated to God and to his service. And by this act, you therefore signify your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and also your desire that Eli shall receive the benefits of consecration to God and of the prayers of the church, and may they early learn to know and follow the will of God, and thus doing may live and die a Christian, attaining in the end of this earthly life to everlasting life in the kingdom of God. But in order that this may be accomplished, it will be your duty as parents to teach Eli early the fear of the Lord, to watch over his education, that he may not be led astray by false teachings or doctrines, to direct his mind to the Bible as expressing the will and authority of God for all mankind, and direct his feet to the church, to keep him from evil associates and habits, and as much as you are able by the grace of God to bring him up to know and love the Lord and to follow Jesus. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of the Lord?
Yes.
Thank you. And then I'm going to read the scripture again. And they brought little children to Jesus that he could touch them, and the disciples tried to stop these people. When Jesus saw this, he was very displeased, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and don't stop them, for such is the kingdom of God. And truly I say to you," Jesus said, "if you shall not receive the God as a little child, you shall not enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. On behalf of the... Can I hold Eli? Okay, this will work. This will work. Okay. On behalf of the parents and the godparents in this congregation, I dedicate Eli and to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for Eli, Lord, and Keith and Marissa, Lord, and all of the family, Lord. And I just ask your blessing upon this young man. And Lord, just pray for your grace for his parents, Lord, and the godparents and all of the family, Lord, that they would watch over him and teach him, Lord, of your love and your protection, of your goodness, and your all the possibilities that he has through your love and power. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Amen. We're going to sing the song, "Jesus Loves Me." How many saw that we have Jerry, a new generation, crawling around here?
Jesus loves me, this I know.
For the Bible tells me so.
Seated.
The song that we're going to sing, the hymn we're going to sing, was written by Fanny Crosby. She died about 95 years ago. And when she was six weeks old, the doctor made a mistake, and she ended up being blind. And she said throughout her life, as she started writing hymns and seeing God put the melodies together, she said, "I wouldn't take my sight back." She said, "Because I can see so much better without it." Keep that in mind as we sing this great hymn, My Savior, First of All. Please stand.
I shall know him.
Going to be a long day. It's going to be an eternal day. I'm going to ask Jeremy to come up, and he's going to read the scripture this morning. There he is. Would you please stand to honor the word of God? Isaiah 61:10.
I am overwhelmed with the joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in the robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom in his wedding suit, or a bride with her jewels.
Amen. You may be seated. That sounded a little different because Jeremy showed me his Bible. And in his beautiful Bible, all intact, there's one page that's partly ripped out. And it was the page of the scripture that I asked him to read this morning. So he's reading a different Bible. Same God, of course, but a different one. How many know it takes more than somebody accidentally ripping something out of the Bible to make it so that it is not real? Nothing. I don't care if it's burned up. I don't care if it's torn up. I don't care what it is. This word will stand forever because God remembers every bit of it. So we thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Jeremy. Title of the message is A Song of Joy, A Carol Eternal. On September 10th, 2010, on a hospital operating table, one heart stopped. God's heart took over. Carol Hansen, who was a community member of Living Springs, this is her, had two surgeries because she was parking at her place at Banfield and hit the accelerator instead of the brake and plowed into the pillar and broke both of her legs. And she had surgery on the first one, and then she had surgery on the second one. And everything was fine throughout the surgeries. And right after the second surgery, her heart, she had had congestive heart failure at a prior hospitalization, gave out. Said, I'm done. You can keep the legs. I've got somewhere better to go. Her wish was not to have a funeral service or a memorial service. So she was buried in her hometown where she was born, in Hibbing, Minnesota. We sent flowers so that they would know that we loved her. Now, she was a quiet lady, and probably until you saw the picture, you may not have really recognized who she was because she kept to herself. But I love the fact that her name means Song of Joy. It's an eternal song, and God is going to sing it with her all the way through. So I thought, well, she doesn't want a service, so I won't do that. But she didn't say I can't bring her up, her name up in my message. And she can't argue now, so she's otherwise occupied. And I thought, I've never done this before, but God's a God of unprecedented events. Nothing he's ever done in your life is exactly how he's done for someone else. Even though it may look the same, it truly is not. God is an individual God who touches us very deeply and significantly. And so I thought, I'm just going to drag her right into the message so that you can see who we lost and see who heaven gained. We thank the Lord for her, and we know, as good as she looks in that picture, how much better right now she is in the presence of Almighty God. And I thought immediately when she passed away, when I heard about it, that she immediately was transferred from the operating table to the table of the Lord. That was my immediate thought. Similar to when Jerry and Ken's stepmother died. And she died at supper time, if I remember right. And I sent something to Jerry. She went from her table to the seat at the Lord's table in that quick moment. And let me tell you something, God doesn't dwell in time, but he controls it. And any time can be the time for anybody in this room or anywhere else. So I thought, when her heart failed and she woke up, she had no doctor over her. She had no nurse saying, I'm not getting a pulse. The sheet was rolled away and she saw Jesus Christ in his absolute total glory. Now, if we had lived when Jesus was alive, that would have been glorious, but imagine him in his eternal glory. Can't even imagine it. It's wonderful. So I wanted to take this message and honor her, and mostly to honor the Savior who took her and who kept her. So in Isaiah, I'm going to start in the beginning of the 61st chapter because this is fabulous. And I want to talk first of all about who met her, who met Carol when she opened her eyes. In the first verse, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Who was the one that she saw? Well, first of all, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit. This word means the breath of God. It is talking about the Holy Spirit of God who hovered over him. And if you remember in the New Testament when Jesus was baptized in water, full water immersion by his cousin John the Baptist, the dove came upon him. That was the Holy Spirit that came upon him in a visual way to show not only the unity of the Trinity, but also to show that he was delighted in him and that this was the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. So he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And the word Lord here means Yahweh. It means the personal name of God, the covenant name. And God, G-O-D here means Adonai. It means the Lord and the Master. Let me tell you this. If Jesus is your Savior, but he is not your Lord, you have to go back to prayer. He expects to be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And who better to follow and to worship? Who deserves our yielding more than he? Of course, nobody. He is also the Anointed One. He said, the Lord has anointed me. Who is the Anointed One? The Messiah. And that word means Anointed One. It means the one that is dripping with oil from God. He's been anointed to do what? To send me to give good news to the afflicted. Now, we don't hear too many good news messages in the hospital. And more all the time, it's very frustrating, I think, that we don't hear any news in the hospital. They don't seem to know what's happening with a good portion of the patients. And you can't fix something if you don't know what's wrong with it. That's not good news to me. Good news is when you not only know the problem, you have the solution ahead of time. And that's Jesus. And that is the gospel. And it also says, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The word bind up here means to bandage up the wounds. To bandage up your wounds. They are reminding me, when I was reading this, makes me think about the strips that they use in hospitals and doctors use to bandage up. They use little strips to contain whatever the wound is. Reminds me of the swaddling cloths in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where it talks about the birth of Jesus, swaddling clothes. That was actually cloths that were wrapped around him. Really like a doctor's care to take care of him. The Lord binds up the wounds. He's the only one that can. And this is the God that Carol met, the one that bound up her wounds even before she knew him. Do you know that God touches you even before you know him? God answers prayer before you even know that it's God. That's how gracious he is. And the Bible goes on to say, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and bring freedom to the prisoners. Who met Carol when she slipped from this earth? The one who died for her. The one who loved her. The one who healed her. And gave her really an eternal healing. Now, because her name means Song of Joy, I wanted to highlight the 10th verse. And in my translation, the New American Standard, it says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord, and my soul will exult in my God. He has clothed me with garments of salvation, and he has wrapped me in a robe of righteousness. I will rejoice. As Harvey was talking about, the word rejoice means to joy over and over and over again. That's what it means. Now, we need faith for this world. We need hope down the road. But joy is something that can see to the other side. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. He had a viewfinder way, way far away on the other side of this world, into eternity. And that's the sight that rejoicing does. So the Lord is the one who met her, and then he's the one who dressed her. Now, with the last time she was alive on this earth, she was in one of those hospital gowns, which is infinitely better than the ones they give you when you go into the clinic, and they're a paper napkin, and they don't salute very well. Yeah. And any shame issues you have when you go in kind of continue on. But anyhow, we're talking here about the Lord himself as the template of the clothing and of the change he gives us in eternity. And what it's talking about, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God. Again, there's that word, my God. My personal God, like Eli. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. The word garments here, all the way through in Hebrew, no matter for what person, it could be a person who was a leper, it could be a common person, it could be somebody who was a priest. It was the same word used no matter what part of life you found yourself. Now, how many know that when Jesus died for us, he died for the wealthy and he died for the poor? And it is not your station in life that dictates your relationship to God. It is his station in life. It's not where we came from, it's where he came from. That's what makes all the difference, and where he went when he left, and where he wants to take us. How many are glad that it's based on who he is and not who we are? Because you might be thinking, well, I'm not that bad, but you might not be, you probably aren't. But you might be just a little bit less than the person next to you, and you might be a little bit better than the person on the other side. That's not God's measuring stick. The measuring stick is always and ever Jesus Christ. And aren't you glad it doesn't matter if you're in rags or riches? The Lord will clothe you himself. Only he can do that. So he says here, clothes and garments of salvation. And I like this word for salvation because in the Aramaic it means a wide place. A wide place. You know what that means? You have to read the whole Bible in its entirety to understand things and to get a fuller picture. The Bible that also says it's a narrow way into the presence of God. And that's for this reason. You cannot have 500 different ways to get to God. I don't care what they tell you in the books in the library. That's not the way God came. He came one way through Jesus Christ. And that is the narrow way. But once you get through the narrow way and Jesus is your Savior, it is a wide expanse into the presence of God. God did not save us so we'd live in a straitjacket. Now, he does have some monitoring wisdom and he has guidance so that we do not go do damage to ourselves. He has structure. But that's not the same as the salvation he offers us. He wants us to be in an abundant place. That's what he gave to Carol. Do you think she has any limits? No. Do you think she's wondering what she's wearing tomorrow? I don't think so. Think she's wondering how she's going to pay for it? Mm-mm. She doesn't even have to look for sales anymore. She got the best deal in eternity. God gave us a coupon. He said, check out the cross. That's where your best deal is. I'll feed you, I'll clothe you, give you a place to stay forever. And you know what? He didn't cheapen out either. Imagine the beautiful world he created for man, how much more grand his own home is. Because it's eternal. So he says here, he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. Upon the clothing of the salvation is a robe of righteousness. You know what that word means? It means right standing with God. That's what it literally means. And I thought about that with Carol, because I had heard, and I believe this is true, but when we were worshiping at Kingswood, and one of our lovely ladies, Sylvia, fell in the chairs, Carol offered her walker so she could brace herself, so she could stand. Carol needed it. And that tells you a little bit about the heart of this woman that nobody really knows about, is that in reality and in service, she gave up something she needed for someone else. How much greater is the standing in Jesus Christ? We are standing on his legs, to be very honest. We are standing in Jesus Christ and in his righteousness. Not our abilities, not our wisdom. Nothing. I bring nothing to the table. He brings it all. Aren't you glad? This is a great portion because it goes on to say, He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. What we have here is a wedding. And the Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to take place. And if you don't think that God doesn't dress you for it, read the scripture. In the most beautiful array you can ever imagine. Carol, who I don't believe was married, will be part of the bride of Christ and will be forever cherished and treasured by the bridegroom. And believe me, he knows how to treat a lady. He knows how to treat his bride because he died for her. And so he's the one who gave her the song. This is Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation, which is another wonderful book, in the fifth chapter, I'm going to share a couple of scriptures here because this is the culmination in our minds and in our book of what God is going to do. How many can see Revelation on the horizon in the world in which we live? Can you see it? You bet. The fifth chapter, it said, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. Now this word for the word book here, it's a book talking about the end days. God seals as he unveils his plan. But the Greek word is biblios. It's from the word, that's where we get the word Bible. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to break its seals? No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book. Nobody. Nobody could. And I began to weep because no one was found worthy to open the book. That'd be like getting a Christmas present and you can't get it open. It would break your heart. You'd probably be so excited to open it, you'd break it while you're trying to open it. Smash it in so you can get to it. And then one of the elders said, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Jesus Christ is the only one that can open up what is coming at the end of the age. And then he talks about, I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if he were slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. Now this means the sevenfold spirit of God, the same one that hovered over Jesus when he was baptized. Okay, they work in concert together. And he says, and he sent out in all the earth. The Holy Spirit will be sent out to minister as the days continue to approach. And then he says in the eighth verse, and when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp. So Maria's way ahead here, folks. And golden bowls full of the incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, one of the things I find very interesting about the incense in particular, did you know that prayers do not have gravity? They don't come back here. They stay in the presence of God. In my mind, probably until they are completed, until the victory and the prayer has been answered. When Maida went in before the presence of the Lord, maybe she saw some of the incense, some of the prayers that she had uttered for her son, who still needs to be saved and to walk with God. Maybe Carol saw some of those prayers. Your prayers do not hit the ground. When they prayed in faith, they go up and they go into the presence of God. And you know, the Bible calls them an aroma of God. That means they're pleasant to his sense. He acknowledges them. He accepts them. It's a beautiful scent. And by the way, it doesn't cause asthma, and it doesn't give you hay fever, and it doesn't do anything else to you. But you have to know it's got to be the sweetest scent. The prayers of God's people. When you say to God, and I'm sure you do, because we all do on occasion, Lord, when are you going to answer my prayer? He's going to say, it's still here. It's not been dissolved. Have faith. Continue to have trust. So they had a harp. They each had a harp, which is interesting. Maybe we're all going to have harps. We better take lessons. Nonetheless, it's a time of worship. It's a song, and the Bible says that he gives you the song. Now, we've sung Fanny Crosby songs, and we've sung other people's songs, and they're wonderful. I love singing songs, and I love the words, and I like to see what they meant. Can you imagine singing God's song? Can you imagine those words? They're fabulous. They have to be fabulous. And Carol is part of that song, Song of Joy. Psalm 40 has one of the great portions when it says in the first three verses, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And I'm praying that Carol's life, even though most of us didn't know her very well, that song of joy will touch your life today. And it will be an eternal song for Jesus Christ. I was reading a devotional from the Light of the World, Light from the World, a daily devotional in the Wesley Bible Resources. It's actually from a year ago, but it doesn't matter because it's a great thought. Saying the young girl had been orphaned when she was only 5 years old. She had been moved so many times from one relative's home to another for the past 10 years that she only had a few personal belongings. And since most of her family was poor and had children of their own, she often felt unwanted and an outsider. She longed for the day she would be part of a loving family. Within a year, a wealthy couple adopted her. As her new father showed her around the house, he told her, "Your past is now behind you. You are our daughter, and everything we have is yours. You'll be loved and treasured, and nothing will ever change that." Because truthfully, it doesn't matter if we've lived in the penthouse or if we came through the outhouse. We need to be in God's house, in his presence, through his son, through that narrow opening that brings us to the wide expansion of the blessing of an eternal life with him. And I'd like you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. If you're here today and you'd say, you know, I believe that there's a God, and I'm glad you do. But you'd say, you know, I don't know that I've ever gone through that narrow door. I'm kind of hovering around some of the other doors. But the most important thing is to hover around the door that actually works. The Bible says Jesus is the door. He came here. There's nobody else you'll find in heaven or earth that has died for you, that loved you exactly the way you were, that plucked you out of despair, and will give you his home someday. There is no one else that will do that for you. And you'd say today, with an upraised hand, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. This is just a way to indicate so I know who to pray for. I want to know for sure that I'm a believer, that I'm a Christian, and that when my eyes close from this world, they will open into the presence of God. There is nothing more important than that, because Carol's life also tells us one thing. None of us knows what tomorrow may bring. We're all a breath away from death. But if you're here and you'd say, pray for me, because I don't want to miss the expanse of what God has created for me. I want him to clothe me in his righteousness. I want to know him. And I just want to be sure, if you're here today, you'd raise your hand so I can pray for you. I just don't want to miss anybody at all. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for life that's everlasting. Lord, you don't take us down, you take us up. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray for every prayer that's ever been uttered that is in your presence as a holy incense to you. This prayer, Lord, would be precious in your sight. Touch those that need your help, even if they don't know it. Father God, I pray your special touch upon each one, again upon the McDonald family. Surround them with your grace and your mercy. And show them, Lord, in a very sweet, gentle way, I know all about you. I'm way ahead of you. And I love you. Minister, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for the final song, Until Then.
Stepping stones, a heart of trail.
I'm going to ask Pastor Dennis to come up and close prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence, and we pray you'd go with each of us, Lord, that you keep your hand upon us, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to us, Lord, through your gentle and powerful and patient love, that we may know the true meaning of joy. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.